Would you stand out of respect of God's word? 1 Samuel chapter 1. And find, if you will, verse 24. 1 Samuel chapter 1, find verse 24. The Bible says this. And when she had weaned him, 1 Samuel 1:24, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. The title of the message this morning is Hannah's Surrender. Hannah's Surrender. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I pray that you would help us to take encouragement as well as strength and, Lord, challenge from this mother that in Scripture was just made a huge step of faith and surrender. Lord, I pray that you'd meet the needs here in all of our hearts and our lives. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. There was a young mother who was so, young lady, I should say, who was so excited about being married. And she was excited that early on she was expecting. Unfortunately, though, all of her excitement were dashed as that child was lost at childbirth. She and her husband tried again and had a miscarriage, and then another, and then another, and then another. Probably 4 or maybe 5 children were lost. She then was thrilled when she had a baby girl and was healthy. Yet another time of grief came when yet another miscarriage, 6 children lost all total. And then, thankfully, she had yet another. No doubt, many times Mother's Day is a time of great joy, but it can be a time of grieving as well for some and many, where they are longing to have children, or they have had children lost, or perhaps even go astray, even as they have been survived, but spiritually are not where they ought to be. Would you see, as we look to this story of Hannah, that God is waiting to give you your petition, your prayer of your heart, and he's waiting to give you your petition when you're willing to surrender that petition to him. As we look through the story, let's go back to chapter 1, verse 2, and see the backstory of what we read. It says this, and he had 2 wives, this is talking about Elkanah. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice in the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. As he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Here is Hannah, who cannot have children. The Bible says very clearly that the Lord had shut up her womb. The Lord is the one that obviously and ultimately gives life and the vitality to have that life. And here it says, and the scriptures describe it as the Lord had shut up her womb. So she had no children, but she was longing. But to make things worse, here is her adversary, who yearly, if not monthly, perhaps on more occasions and more frequently than that, would attack her, would cause her the difficulty and the grief of realizing she has no children. And sometimes ladies can feel less of a worth if they do not mother a child, which is not the case. And yet Hannah no doubt had all of those doubts, all of those thoughts in her heart and her mind. And she grieved. And so she went, and she wasn't eating. She was difficulty with all of these things. You could see the sorrow in her heart. In verse 7, it says that she wept. She did not eat in verse 7. In verse 8, the Bible says this, "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved?" Well, you should have been putting some things together, but maybe this was just a unique time, or maybe the grief just became to get to climax. But then his last question, "Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" Now, that was probably not the question to ask. Husband, don't do that one, okay? He's trying to find out what's going on and trying to encourage her in the best way he can. And here she goes with him, and she goes to pray. Verse 9, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in," what's the next word? "Bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore." The Bible says in verse 11, she had affliction. In verse 15, sorrowful spirit. In verse 16, she said, "Would you see my complaint and my grief?" In verse 15, we see later, she poured out her heart and her soul before the Lord. Let's recognize this. Hannah prayed to her only source. Her only source was God, and Hannah prayed to her only source. As Hannah is making this prayer, I think there's two ways that she prayed that we can apply to our hearts and our lives. Hannah prayed to her only source, and the first application for us would be this. When God is your only source, you will pray passionately. When God is your only source, you will pray passionately until you come to the place you realize, oh, I can't do this. I can't make this happen. I can't fix this situation. I have to go to God. You're really not going to be praying passionately. And oftentimes we need to come to the end of ourselves. And all of this grief that we hear certainly tells us this in this way as well. And here she was grieving so much. But I think one of the ways to really just describe it is in verse 15. "And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord." See, why is she saying this? She's saying this in response to Eli the prophet, because Eli is sitting there and he's watching. Well, she's over here, I'd imagine, perhaps kneeling, maybe not, maybe she's sitting. And she is praying, but as she's praying, she's not speaking out loud. Her lips are moving, but she's praying quietly. But streaming down her cheeks are these tears of grief and sorrow. And he sees her and he says, "She must be drunk." And he accuses her and says, "Why don't you give up the wine and give up the strong drink and the alcohol?" And she says, "No, my Lord, I haven't done that. That's not the case. I'm a sorrowful spirit. I haven't done that. But I have poured out my soul before the Lord." Psalm 62:8 says, "Pour out your hearts before him." Psalm 42, verse 2, I poured out my complaint before him. You know, God wants to hear your voicing, your articulation, your pouring out. Sometimes you can't even talk, but you just cry and say, God, here is my petition. Here is my request. Let me ask, is there something on your heart that you need God to do? Is there a petition? Is there a request? Is there something that you're praying for today? Would you see this, that perhaps God wants you to not go through the difficulty to make you sorrowful, to make you sad, but that you would see, you would stop and finally come to the end of yourself and say, I cannot make this happen. God, I have to go to you. And if I go to you, then you're my only source. And now he wants you to go to him passionately and to pour out your heart before him. Let me ask, are there ones here that are grieving? Perhaps there's a mother here that is grieving for a child, for an adult child, someone perhaps that's even gone astray. Who here's been the recipient of those prayers? Let me tell you, if you're a son, if you're a daughter, someone along the line, maybe your parents were not saved or still are not saved, but somewhere along the line, someone did pray for you. Someone did pour out their hearts for you. And folks, if you did have or do have a mom that does know Jesus Christ as Savior, let me tell you, you have no idea. You have no idea the tears that are shed behind closed doors for you. And some in here, you're not where you ought to be spiritually, as a son, as a daughter. And that grieves a mom that is a virtuous woman. She cannot make you. Yes, if you're still in the household and under the authority, she can work with you in discipline and authority, and she ought to. So should the father if the father is present. But she cannot make you be spiritual. It's your choice. So let me ask today, are you where you ought to be spiritually? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you said, okay, I'm a sinner. Because of my sin, I fall far short of God's holy perfection, His glory, and I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. God does love you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the first thing. Let me ask, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you saved? If so, that's wonderful. But are you as well where you ought to be spiritually in your walk with the Lord? Who here would be grieving to be a mother? Someone that says, I want to have children and yet have not been blessed in that way. Who here would say, I'm burden for someone else that needs to be saved, and I'm sorrowful for them. Maybe it's not a child. Maybe it is a mom. Maybe it is a dad. Maybe it's a relative of some sort. Would you recognize this, that they need to know how much you care? When's the last time you've just been in bitterness of soul? You've been in a sorrowful spirit because someone is unsaved. Do you realize this? Someone that is unsaved, they're condemned already. It's not later. It's right now. So the only thing that needs to happen for them to go to a Christless eternity, all eternity, forever lost, irrevocably gone to a place called hell, is for them to stop breathing in their life, their heart to stop. They're condemned already to this place. Are you bothered by that? You know them. You're related to them. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. I remember when one of our revival meetings, I've been praying for one of my aunts. for a number of years, and she came and to the service. That was just a miracle right there, to have any of my mom's side to come to church. It was incredible. And they grew up East Tennessee, you know, moonshiner type stills, you know, don't show up in a tie in that area. You get shot and then ask questions later. Oh, it was the preacher. Okay, I'm sorry about that. And it just a rough family. I mean, seriously, a rough family. Well, she came that week. The Lord had been blessing. We had already had 15 trust Jesus Christ as Savior in those services. It was a large-sized church. That night, gave the invitation, and ones responded, and a third responded, and fourth. I mean, these are ones responding to be saved, and it's quite incredible. I have not seen too many meetings or services like this one, and the seventh person, and an eighth person, and a ninth person, and there were counselors and ones dealing with them and taking them out to other locations, and people were being saved, and I'm praying, and I'm asking the Lord, and I noticed that my aunt then raised her hand that she needed to be saved, and Sherry's down there. She's looking up at me, and she's crying, and I'm starting to cry, and we're praying that she'd come, and then finally she does, she went back to praying. I just whispered in the mic, Sherry, where everybody else could hear, but I didn't care, you know. And she got them over there, and my wife was able to help her, and she did lead her to Christ, and she trusted the Lord. Amen. I remember my uncle at my mother's funeral. You know, through tears, he loved her so much, and they were good. They were close, especially in the last years of their life. And I gave the gospel in the service, and God, by His grace, gave me strength in my mother's funeral to do so. And my uncle trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Let me ask you, do you have a burden for someone right now that needs to be saved? When God is your only source, you'll pray passionately. But secondly, let's apply this. When God is your only source, you will pray persistently. Persistently. Notice how verse 7, it says this, and as he did so year by year, she went up. So here's this every year that she went up. But the idea is as well that her adversary in verse 6 continually went to her. So this wasn't a one-time thing. And as he would go up year by year, what do you think Hannah prayed for year by year? What do you think was on her heart and her mind? It was certainly to have a child. So she would pray persistently to be able to do so. And as we look to God's word, what does the Bible say about this matter of ceasing to pray or not praying persistently? Well, we're in 1 Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. How does the Bible describe this? 1 Samuel chapter 12. And I love this. 1 Samuel chapter 12, find verse 23. 1 Samuel 12, 23. The Bible says this. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Did you notice that? God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So he recognized if I stop praying for you, it's a sin. When is it that you stop praying for something or someone? It's when you stop believing that the Lord's going to answer. You know the passage where the Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. The whole idea of those words are not just a one time, but it's continual. The idea of asking, you'll have it given. Seeking, you'll find. Now, I'm a bad seeker. I lose something, and I go, I say, honey, where is it? That's why God gave us wives, so they could help us find everything that we don't know where they are. And I say, honey, where is it? She said, it's in the other room. I go to the other room. I look for at least 15 seconds. I mean, solid 15 seconds. And I come back and I can't find it anywhere. Then I search in the 15 seconds and she goes in and she looks and she moves things and whatever and she finds it. I said, oh, well, that's where it was. Yeah, well, you had some information that I didn't know. I just looked better. The idea of seeking is continuing to seek until you find it. The idea of knocking isn't, you know, one time. It's the idea of continuing to knock. Yes, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. It says for everyone. Why did it repeat that? Why did he repeat it and he says everyone? And so we could get the point that you can have your prayers answered.
Yes.
You can ask. But why is it that you stop? It's because you stopped believing. Why haven't you received? It's because you stopped. Yeah. And the reason you stopped is because you stopped believing. Would you say, dear God, help me to be like that, that lady that just consistently, constantly came back, even to this unjust judge. He didn't give her because he was a just judge and a great man and a godly man. He gave her the request because she just kept coming back. And here is Hannah, and she's continuing to pray. George Mueller was a man of prayer. He prayed for 5 friends to be saved. The first one, it took 5 years. The second, 10. The third, over 15. Still, as he continued to pray, he had 2 other friends. And they said, oh, Brother Mueller, you've been praying for them for years, decades. And yes, the fourth one was saved some 25 years after he started praying, but he kept praying. But the fifth one didn't get saved. George Mueller passed away. But after the funeral, the fifth one did. Because this man kept praying. We're in such an instant society and such a short focus. You know, what if every single instant little prayer you got, you prayed, you got right away. It would totally spoil you. You would think you were something big. You think that whatever, you would flippantly ask. You would just be careless. What God wants for you is for you to continually wait for Him and look to Him. And maybe the long years of praying, or perhaps even the decades of praying, is for you and for your benefit to continue to ask and look to Him. In Pennsylvania, the first night in our crusade there's a man that was coming forward with another gentleman. He was older. He looked probably 70. I think he was in his 70s. And he came and he trusted Christ as Savior. And I said, afterwards, I said, that's tremendous. They said, you don't know how big that is. We've been praying for that man for decades to be saved. There's a man in Georgia, and I went to the church and I was preaching, and his name was Lloyd, Mr. Lloyd. And he just started coming to the church. His wife had been a longtime member, sweet lady. She had trusted Christ as Savior years and years and years ago. She'd been consistently come to church, but he wouldn't come until he got cancer, stage 4. So he came, he was sitting in the service, I would preach, and I'd get eye contact with him, and he looked down. I'd preach along and come back, he looked down. And I gave the invitation, and Mr. Lloyd didn't respond. Afterwards, I came up to him, and I politely put my arm around him and said, hey, Mr. Lloyd, I'm praying for you. And he put his head down again and he said, yes, sir. He was very gracious. And he said, thank you very much. And he left. The pastor said, hey, you want to go see him at his house? I said, yeah, let's do that. And so we went to the house, and the wife was, of course, willing, and she's praying for this. And he was, um, He's older in his sight and his hearing, so we had to speak very loudly to him, and we couldn't use just even a large print Bible, so we had to put the print on a screen, an iPad and such, and make it like this massive font, you know, one word, you know, almost, and so he could be able to see it. So we went through the gospel, all the gospel. You're a sinner. Because of your sin, you're separated from God, but God loved you so much that that Christ died for your sins, even while you're a sinner. And if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, Mr. Lloyd, you can be saved. Would you recognize that? Change your mind about anything else and trust Jesus Christ and Him alone. And he said, well, I'll think about it. In fact, now that I think about it, he was much older than I was even remembering, and because of the story. And I thought, wow, you know, here he is. He's older. He has cancer. It's serious. You're going to think about it. We said, Mr. Lloyd, how long are you going to think about it? Look, you probably don't have much time just with what the doctors have said and what all of this is taking place. Why don't you trust Christ today? And he didn't. And then we gave him a third opportunity, and then the Holy Spirit just said, stop. And so we left. And he didn't trust Christ as Savior. Well, I had gone and went to the next meeting. And he went to, weeks later, went to the doctor again. And this time the report was really bad. And so he started asking more questions about God, about the Bible, and about eternal life. And so his wife called the pastor and said, Pastor, would you come? I think my husband's ready to ask. To learn more. And he came and he went through the gospel. And again, he said, now remember evangelist Chris Miller when he was here? He said, yep. And he said, remember how he asked you if you'd like to trust Christ as Savior? You want to think about it? He said, yep. He said, would you like to trust Christ right now? And he said, yep. And they said, okay. And so now the pastor's getting ready to tell him how to do so. He's like, okay, here's how you can do it. And Mr. Lloyd just starts praying. He just says, God, I know I've been bad, real bad. I've done a lot of bad things. And I deserve to go to hell, but I don't want to. And I realize that Jesus died for my sins, so I'm trusting him now. Amen. So please take me to heaven. Amen. I looked up, the pastor said, well, did that do it? The pastor said, yep. Well, this whole time, his wife was in the kitchen, and she was watching. She's like a caged, you know, tiger. She's pacing back and forth, and she comes out. She's so thrilled, and here's Pastor sitting at the table, and her husband is sitting at the table, and Pastor puts his hand on Lloyd's shoulder and says, Lloyd, we've been praying for you at the church for, I don't know, years and years, probably 15 years or more. And we're just so thrilled about that. Well, the wife came and she had placed her hand on Lloyd's other shoulder. And then she said, oh, Pastor. She placed her hand on the pastor's shoulder. Said, I've been praying for my husband to be saved for 60 years. For 60 years. How long will it take? I don't know. People are people. They have a will. God has to do what only God can do and what we cannot. When God is our only source, we will pray passionately, but we will pray persistently. Let me ask, are you doing both of those? The fervent, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you have that passionate prayer? Do you have that consistency, or have you ceased and sinned by ceasing to pray? But not only do we see that Hannah prayed to her only source, but Hannah promised full surrender. Hannah promised full surrender. Look, if you would, in verse 11, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. It says this, and she vowed and said unto the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, this is huge. This is absolutely huge. She wants to be a mother. She's asking specifically not just for a child, but for a man-child. And she is willing to give her son back to the Lord, for whom this son she's grieved and prayed for years and years and years to say, okay, God, I'm willing to give him back to you. She surrendered. In verse 23, we see this. It says this, and Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, and tarry thou, because she was going to stay back because the child was born at that particular time. Samuel was born, and it says, only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she had weaned him. So she was getting ready to give him over to the Lord. And verse 28 gives the account, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, so shall he be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So she's saying, okay, I'm going to give him, I'm sorry, I was supposed to read verse 22 as well. And Hannah went not up, for she had said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then will I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord. She, okay, and he can abide there forever. I'm going to just give him away. Here is a full surrender. I remember at one of our conclusion of our revival services years ago, there was a lady out there and then the foyer area and then a child, probably 10, I don't know, 11 or so, a little girl. And I'm just making conversation with her. Hey, how are you? What's your name? How old are you? Okay. What do you think you want to do when you grow up? Would you want to, I don't know, would you, maybe God would want you to be a missionary? I just was making conversation. That's all I was doing. And you know what the mom did? She grabbed her daughter and pulled her close to her and said, oh, no. We could never let her go away. I could never let her be a missionary. I thought, how damaging for that daughter to even hear her mom say that. How selfish. God gave you your children for a higher purpose. You know, God wanted a man, Samuel. You know how he's going to get that man? It's to get a woman that was surrendered to God. A woman that said, okay, I'm willing to. A mom that would say, okay, this is my one prayer. This is my one request. But God, I'm willing to give up this one request for you. Because you have a higher purpose, that's going to be the greater joy. Could you imagine the joy as she would year by year come and visit, make him his coats and help him with some clothing and such. And she would see that's her son serving the Lord in the midst of evil and wicked sons. That's her boy that's going to be used to be able to call the nation back to him. That's going to be her son through whom God is going to speak and do so much. God wanted a man, but he needed to get a woman first, a mom that was surrendered. Let me ask, moms, are you surrendered fully? God, here's my child. Here's my son, my daughter. Well, you, Brother Miller, we had a baby dedication. That's why you know what baby dedication is. Baby dedication is typically after the child's born, you come up here, the baby cries, and for the service, the pastor tries to speak over the crying, and says, oh, isn't that a cute baby? I wish it would stop crying. And so you have this service, and he prays. It doesn't save the baby. We know that. It's not a part of any confirmation. There's nothing like that. It's just something that the parents are saying, Lord, you gave us this child, and we give this child back to you. And that's a good, I think it's a good thing. We like to do that, and I encourage it. But it's really not for the baby. It's for the parents.
Right.
But you know what? Your baby didn't know that. They're not aware. You know what would be good is for your 10 or 11-year-old to hear, I've given you to the Lord. Whatever God wants you to do, I want you for you. It would be great for your 7-year-old to hear that. for your 15-year-old or your 17-year-old and say, God, this child is yours. I remember in a service when I was in college serving as a counselor at the Bill Rice Ranch, and I was probably 18, 19, and my parents came down to visit, and they're at the Sunday service before camp starts that week, and the preacher preached, and it was on a dedication, surrendering to the Lord. I don't remember all of it, but it was, who here would give your child to the Lord and stand up? And I was sitting next to my mom, who stood. I'm the only one in our family that's gone to Bible college. I'm the only one in our family, if, as long as I can tell, Amish in background from grandparents on, that has been a Bible called preacher. But not only that, I'm the only evangelist, which is a unique calling in and of itself. And for me to be able to do that and have the backing of my mom and my parents was absolutely huge. Because people don't understand, they're like, well, when are you going to stop traveling like a gypsy, you know, and settle down and get a church, you know? And when are you going to have a real life and ministry? And, you know, all of these questions are even taking place when I was younger. And it was a thrill and a relief to me to know my parents, especially my mom, was willing to say, I'm giving my child back to the Lord. What is it that you need to surrender today? Maybe if you're here as a mom, you do need to say, God, here are my kids. And I'm willing to stand for them. Perhaps for you, you say, there's something on my heart and God's working on my heart, but I haven't, you know, he's not answered my request. And I can't say I always pray passionately or I always pray persistently. I have stopped, so I need to confess that. But God's merciful, and he can help you with that request. But perhaps he's waiting to give you your request when you give your request to him. On more than one occasion, I've prayed, you know, and I just pray how I think I should pray. But I know that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We're praying at a prayer meeting, and we're asking the Lord to save souls and revive and do different things. And one lady said, God, and would you do that? And she started to quote a verse. It was a corporate prayer meeting, and she got it wrong. She said, Lord, I don't even know how the verse goes all the way, but that you know it. And God, would you just fix my prayer? But Lord, I just give it to you, whatever you want. Maybe God wants to fix your prayer today by saying, okay, I'm willing to give you a request if you're willing to give that over to me. I remember my mom suffered a lot of pain and a lot of hospital visits, and it was very hard. But I remember one particular time she was in the hospital. We thought we were going to lose her. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and we're up all night, and we're in the days in the waiting room, and we're crying and all of this. I mean, more than once. Finally, I said, Lord, you have your will with my mom, but here's my request. She didn't start getting better until I said, Lord, here's my mom. And I said this, I said, you love her more than I ever could. That thought helped me to surrender her back to the Lord. There's another relative who is away from God. So far you think, man, there's no hope. Let me tell you, I don't care who your relative is, how far they are in drugs or alcohol or addictions or anything else, there is still hope.
That's
But it came to the point where I said, God, you take them. I just give them to you. Do whatever you want. But Lord, here's my request. And it was at that point that we saw him turn around. And he is a different man now, a man of grace who's consistent in God's house. Would you today say, God, here's my request. I haven't been praying passionately. I haven't been praying persistently. Maybe I haven't been surrendered, but I give it to you. Perhaps for you, you need to say today, as a mom, I'm giving my kids to the Lord, and I want them to know that they have my blessing, and I've given them to the Lord completely. Would you make that decision today? Let's bow for prayer.